a joy to be able to come and speak this morning. And everyone gets to choose a song they like, I find, as we're waiting for the parents to come back. So Esther, if you're right, it's a bit of a noisy song. Some of you may know it, some of you may not. But I've chose a version with all the words on the screen as well. There's a guy in my cell called Lewis Kelly, who's a great guy. And he said, James, can we just listen to this song at the end of the cell? And you know what it's like, oh man, we've had cells, it could be pants. But it changed my life, it really inspired me. So just as we listen to this song, just look at the words and just let the words really soak into your heart, if that's okay. Thanks, Esther.
Hey!
that song. Thank you, Lewis, for introducing it to me. I had the CD for many weeks and months and never got that far on it to listen to it. But God is a good God. I believe that we are going to shape history. I believe that God is going to use every single one of us in this building to do so. You know, it's an honour to speak. In case you don't know me, my name's James. Obviously, as you know, I'm Pastor Nev's son. And it's a joy to be able to work together as a team. I work in the offices with him as well quite a lot, and we have our ups and downs together, and it's fun times. It always gets sorted out in the end, I can assure you. As you can see with the notices situation, that was not good. And we had some good conversations about that on Friday, but we work together as a team, and we're going to see amazing things as a church, I believe, in our town. And I believe with all my heart that we're going to see our nation transformed for the glory of God. And I love the fact that it says, I'm going to change the world. And how do we change the world? Well, it's by working together as a team. Well, I can't do it on my own. I can try, but I'm not going to get very far. But when we work together as a team, we can see and we can do amazing things. So I've entitled this talk this morning, Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. Very cheesy, but very true. As we know, like I've just said, we can't do it on our own. And just before I start, I want to give us a quick example of what teamwork is. And the best way for me to do this is if you guys just watch this little clip for 2 minutes, which Esther is just going to show us. In Jesus' name. Sorry?
Hi, I'm Johnny.
And I'm Chachi.
We're Get In Here Ministries. And you know, Chachi and I, we couldn't be more excited about the idea of teamwork.
And today we're going to take the idea of teamwork and paint you a beautiful picture through the medium of music. Take it away, Johnny.
Okay.
You know, hearing Johnny sing by himself is rather putrid and boring. It's amazing what happens when you add others to the mix. Check this out.
You know, through modern technology, we're even able to do this. I tell you, though, about teamwork. You know, it's less about me and more about we. Let me kick a harmony.
Hi there. We all know the old saying that there's no I in team, but there's also no selfish hypocrisy in team either. Let me throw a dato in the mix.
Dato, dato, dato.
You know, when people say no man is an island, I used to think, of course no man is a piece of land surrounded by a body of water. But then I realized what they mean. I think I get it.
Somebody once said that none of us is as smart as all of us. And I don't really know what that means, but I know I like it. Now watch me break out something special.
You know, I think we've made some pretty good points about teamwork and the value therein of it.
And if teamwork were a person, I'd love them as all get out.
I think we made some headway on
it. I love it.
Pretty good.
Man, that's awesome. Awesome. I love it.
You know what I'm saying?
I love it.
You guys are good.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I
mean?
That's me done. I love that clip. You know, I show my dad it about 10 times. He doesn't quite find it as funny as I do. But but I do find it really funny. Esther, can I get the PowerPoint started? Is that cool? But I want to talk very quickly. There you go. You like that? I want to talk very quickly today on three things which I believe will help us change our town of Reading and beyond. You know, it's good, as we all know, not to settle, isn't it? And I'm not going to settle when our town of Reading's changed and transformed. I want it to be the whole south of England. And then when we've conquered the whole south of England, I want to keep moving and take the whole UK. And then when we've got the UK for the Lord, we want to move and get Europe and the world. And we really want to make a difference for our town. But we need to work as a team. We need to be a group of people who are all working together. Now, I want to give a great example before we start of some teamwork, even this week, which we worked out. You know, I was in the office on Friday, I was just on the computer or whatever, and this wasp came into the office. And so like a little kid, I'm shooting outside of that room. You know, it was just at the top by the little window. And then every now and then it would be dopey and nearly fall on my head. So I was out of there very quickly. And I'm like, being very manly, you know, it's good to give the ladies a chance just to prove that they're good at teamwork. And I was like, Marilyn, Jackie. And bless her, Jackie's there waving something around. Marilyn gets on a little chair and breaks it and kills this wasp. And I was like, that's teamwork. I need just to put that right at the beginning of this talk because that is a great example in my eyes of teamwork. You know, we worked together as a team. I ran off like a little baby and the guys just came and helped me out. But teamwork is something we need to be together. The other one is unity. And the third thing I'm going to briefly talk on is prayer. You see, when we work together as a team, when we're unified, and when we soak everything in prayer, I believe we will start to see amazing things. You know, I believe that we are already beginning to see amazing things. And it's so exciting and it's such a blessing to be able to be in this position. But what is unity? So I very cleverly looked. That's quite cool. I very cleverly looked on Wikipedia. And Wikipedia says this is what unity means. It's when people work together for the common good. I think that's pretty cool and pretty self-explanatory. It's when people work together. So when we're unified as a team, we're working together for the common good. What is our aim? To see Reading changed and transformed. Are we going to do it together? Hopefully the answer to that is yes. So we will be unified. But what does the Bible say about unity? Psalm 133, verse 1 says, how good and pleasant is it when brothers and sisters live in unity. How good and pleasant it is when we all live together in unity. John 17, verse 23 says, I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10 says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and in thought. You know, be it in the Bible, be it outside of the Christian place as a whole, there is a power in unity, in people being united as a team. You know, the perfect example, especially after yesterday, is Chelsea Football Club. You know, you look 6 months ago, they had this manager they didn't really want in that team. They weren't unified. They weren't all working together. And the team really started to struggle because there was no unification. A bit later on, they changed the manager. And as we know, Roberto Di Matteo comes in. And 6 months later, this team is unified. And what happens when they unify? They win the FA Cup. Yesterday, they won the Champions League because they were unified together. Because where there's unity, there is a blessing. So us at Lifespring Church, we need to be united. We need to always be running in the same direction. You know, we don't necessarily have to agree with everything James Holland says, but we're united in wanting to see Reading changed, are we not? Whether it be feeding the homeless like Malcolm does wonderfully, whether it be creating football teams so we can see young people come and know Jesus, whether it be going on the streets to tell about Jesus, whether it be putting on concerts, whether it be putting church services on like this, we need to be united for the common goal of seeing our town changed. And it doesn't matter how we do it, as long as we do it as a team together, because we can't do it all on our own. Sometimes I wish we could. You know, it'd be a lot easier. Well, it wouldn't be easier at all, but you know what I'm saying. But what are we believing for as a church? The whole of Reading to come and know Jesus. That's easy to say, obviously, because that's our goal. But what is our aim for this year? As you know, when we had our vision Sunday just a month or so ago, our aim for this year is to see 80 new people come to know Jesus this year. How do we do that? When we're unified together, when we're walking together, when we're believing for the same things. But we need to make plans. We can't just sit on this stage and say, bring your friends, and we need to go and do something about it. We need to make plans and we need to work together in unity. You know, last year, the LifeSpring football team folded. And it was a bit of a tough time. And I felt the Lord say, just create another one for some young guys. And so we went in with the intentions of, we're going to set a football team up. And bless them, so many of our young people invited all their friends. In actual fact, it felt sometimes like they invited too many, which is a problem we can work with. And I just wanted to show you a little picture of our little football team. You know, God has blessed us. And when I look at that picture, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys who had never been to church when we created this football team. But we were working together as a team. They, I don't think they realized that the end goal was to get them into church and get them saved and get them in cell groups. But do you know what? Even this week, 6 guys from the football team came to Refresh for the first ever time, all unchurched people. You know, in our cell group this Tuesday, we had 3 of the people come along for the first time to our cell group. We run a Thursday club, and about two, three, four, or five of them have come along because I basically told them, to be part of this football team, you need to come along to a church event. I did, because it's a Christian church event. If you played for a pub team, you go for a beer in the pub afterwards. If you played for a scouts team, you go to the scouts beforehand. You're playing for a church team, so you come to our church. Simple as that. If they want to argue, they can find another team. My little ploy, if I'm being honest with you, is we've got too many players. Every single one of them has come to something so far via about 1 or 2, and it's like, that's a good problem to have, you know. But, you know, God is good. Because we were united and we were wanting to bring these people along to church events, it has happened because we had a plan set in place. We worked together as a team. We were united. And great things are happening. We gave a gospel message at the end of Refresh, and 5 of them put their hands in the air. But you know, before we start clapping and cheering, as soon as I say, come to the front, they quickly scarpered out the door. But I was like, you know, God is doing something in their lives. And I managed to give one of the guys 4 or 5 Why Jesus booklets and the Book of John's to give to all of them, because I know God is on their case. And I know because we're working together as a team and we're united, and God commands a blessing when we're united, that we will see amazing things happen. But you see, we need to think outside the box sometimes. You know, we ran this football team for about 8 months without inviting them to anything. To get relationships, to understand that we're not weirdos, so to speak. To understand that we're kind of, we're all right as Christians, and that we can put a hard foot in sometimes, and that doesn't matter. But God has blessed us, and he's going to continue to bless us. God commands a blessing when we're unified. So I'm going to presume in this building, for East's sake, that we are all united in seeing our town changed. Amen. 4 of us are united. 4 of us is better than none. Are we united in seeing our town changed and transformed? That's a lot better. And like I say, it doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. We all do things differently, but we need to be united in seeing Reading changed. And we must want to see people added to the church, not for Pastor Neville and Pastor Jackie's glory, but for the glory of God, because we want to see our town changed and transformed. So that's unity. We need to be unified. Next thing, teamwork. We've seen a little clip of it just because I love that clip. But what does teamwork mean? When we look in Wikipedia, it says, a cooperative effort by the members of a group or team to achieve a common goal. As I've said before, one person can't achieve this goal. When we work as a group, we will achieve things that much quicker. You know, I was thinking of an example of this. Like, you think of an athletics runner or a marathon runner. You know, the only person you see when running a marathon is the marathon runner. You know, like the one person, I can't run. Actually, no, I did 2 miles on the jogging machine this week in the gym. But they run 26 miles, I think it is. And all you see is her. But, you know, behind the scenes, there's a big team working. You know, there's someone who's their trainer to get them trained. There's probably a chef who cooks all their food. There's probably a water boy who brings all their water. They don't, it's just not one person. It's a team game. So when we're talking about seeing our town changed, it's not just one person. We all have different roles to play. Some will be organizing events. Some will be speaking at events. Some will be praying for the events. Some will be filling in forms in the events. Some will be playing music in the events. Some will just be inviting so many people to the events. But you see, we work together as a team. We don't do it on our own because we'll burn out and we'll collapse and it'll be a waste of time. You might get one or two good events happening, but we need to work together as a team. And we will see amazing things happen. And one of the other things I wanted to quickly look at is prayer. We need to soak absolutely everything in prayer. We know Jesus prayed all the time. It says in John 17, verse 21, Jesus lifted his eyes towards heaven and prayed. In Matthew 26, Jesus lay face down on the ground and prayed. In Luke, Jesus reclined at the table and prayed. That's just three very quick ones. Jesus prayed all the time. But we need to be men and women and young guys who pray all the time. You know, we had the joy of going to Sweden about a month or so ago, and we went to visit Pastor Lennart, who's got a church of, 1,300 people, and they've just seen amazing things happening all the time. It's like, Pastor Lennart, what are you doing? Praying. Okay, yeah, that's very helpful, mate. What are you doing? Pray. We soak absolutely everything in prayer. So when we go to the prayer meeting before the worship, they are praying like there's no tomorrow. They go, they're passionate and they're crazy. When there's events, they're praying like mad. It's not just one or two because they're a team. And the team are praying together to see amazing things. I suppose the question is, how often do we pray like with passion, with desperation, with hunger? It's easy the day before an event to pray passionately. It's easy the day before to get on our hands and knees and pray for our friends. But how often do we do it? You see, it's all about praying and doing. We pray for our friends and then we invite them. If we're just going to pray for our friends and don't mention anything to any of them, well, the likelihood is they might not come. But we need to pray and do. Pray for my friend and invite them. Pray for my mate Gunnar and I'm going to invite him to stuff. You know, he hasn't come, and I've been inviting him for 8 years, but I'm still going to pray for him, and I'm still going to believe he's going to come, because I want to see him come to know Jesus. But I want to quickly look an example from the Bible of a team working together in unity and prayer, and we're going to see what they achieve, if that's cool. So we're going to look at a very popular story. It's the story of Nehemiah. And I'm just going to quickly just give you a quick background on Nehemiah, if that's okay with you. So King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem in 606 BC, roughly. They destroyed the walls of Jerusalem and took some of the young men as captives. All of the Jews, this is my interpretation, my language, it's not something I've got, were kicked out of Jerusalem. Many years later, some of the Jews were led back by someone called Zerubbabel. And we can read about that if you don't believe me in the book of Ezra, chapters 1 to 6. And 80 years later, another group came back, this time led by Ezra. Ezra led the people to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, but the walls were still in ruin, and a city without walls was defenseless and had no power. So this is when Nehemiah comes into play. And I'm going to very quickly summarize the first six chapters of Nehemiah. When you get some time at home, obviously you can read a bit more, but if I was to read six chapters of Nehemiah now, I'll be getting a look from Pastor Nev to say, crack on, we need to hurry up. So Nehemiah 1 says this, briefly. Nehemiah is a cupbearer of King Artaxerxes. Father, forgive me for my pronunciation. Anyone else wants to repeat it, then feel free. And he was the king of Persia. It was a position of high honor. We find out in Nehemiah 1 that Nehemiah is sad concerning a report from his brothers of how Jerusalem is in great distress. Nehemiah prays. Oh, we'll come back to that later. He had a clear recognition of the problem and he was concerned with the need. He went to God and felt he needed to make himself available to God to use. Sound familiar with our town of Reading? Perhaps we need to pray. Are we realizing the problem? Do we need to go to God and say, God, use me to help fix it? Maybe we do. That's just Nehemiah 1. Nehemiah 2, quickly. Nehemiah goes to all the kings, praying at all times again, and is granted permission to rebuild the wall. The king, by the way, had denied the request from Ezra before that. Nehemiah 3, a description of the work to be done on the walls, and we're going to look at that in a minute or two. Nehemiah 4, the opposition arises. Who knows that's going to happen when we're starting to see the multitudes coming into our churches, into ourselves. What happens? Nehemiah prays. The work continues. More opposition. Oh, Lord, thank you for giving us these hundreds and thousands of young and old people coming to know you. Suddenly there's going to be some opposition. What do? We pray. The opposition, as we see in number 4, get discouraged. And the workers continue to protect themselves and keep watch day and night for each other. Nehemiah 5, very quickly, usury. The practice of charging interest is abolished. God forbade usury interest, and Nehemiah quickly took care of the problem by uniting the people to do what is right. You're getting a sort of feeling here of what I'm talking about. So there's unification, there's prayer, there's teamwork. I've forgotten where I am. By uniting the people to do what is right. Nehemiah is blessed for rebuilding the wall and is made governor. He doesn't use his position for personal gain. Who knows, that's going to be quite tough sometimes when the Lord brings thousands of souls and it's all about me. No. It's all about you, Lord, you know. And so we must be so careful in places like this as well. It's all for Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Everything we do is to see his glory come. Nehemiah 6, the opposition continues, throws more deception. However, as before, when God's involved, who knows, the opposition always fail. And within 52 days, the walls were completed. But you see, Nehemiah didn't do this on his own. Who knows, it would have been super tough for him to do this on his own. What did he have? He had unity. What else did he have? He had a big team and ideas. And he had a goal of what he wanted to accomplish. And everything was soaked in prayer. I just want to quickly read you just a few verses of Nehemiah 3. I've forgotten all my little things. There we go. Let's get a picture of Nehemiah right there for you. There we go. Nehemiah 3, verse 3. I'm just going to quickly read this because there's a whole chapter of this. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hassanah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Mehemoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakos, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshullam, son of Berechiah, the son of Meshabel, made repairs. And next to him, Zadok, son of Banan, also made repairs. The next section was repaired by men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under the supervisors. There's a whole chapter of this about a team working together. It wasn't just Nehemiah who got the cement mixer and started putting all the cement in and building these walls and stuff like that. He didn't do it on his own because he couldn't, but he had a team. And when the team works together and there's unity thrown within that teamwork and it's soaked in prayer, God blesses and amazing things happen. And the walls here, as we know, were built in 52 days. We need to set goals. Some people hate goals. I don't understand that, but I understand that you do. In a sense, I'm a man who's very goal-driven. If you say to me, James, your goal for this year is to see five new young men come to your cell. Well, I'm like, yeah, man, we had 4 last week. One more to go, then we can sit and relax. No, obviously not. No, then we're going to keep going, and we're going to keep going, and we're going to go for 40 by the end of this year. Why not? Because goals, for me, are good. You need to get your team unified together. So I grabbed my team and myself together, like, guys, this is the goal. This is what we're going to achieve. This is what we're going to go for this year. Minimum, not maximum. This is the minimum we're going for this year. And then we initiate great ideas. And then we pray, and we're believing to see amazing things happen. You know, we're very blessed to just be able to be given our building, the pavilion, and it's so exciting. But as in the walls of Nehemiah, we've had setbacks, as Uncle John rightly prophesied over. No, not prophesied. I mentioned we probably would. But you know, I don't know about you, but when we soak everything in prayer, our God-given dreams will come true. When did we come to the conclusion that the pavilion was 100% for us, Jim? In prayer. Yeah, and a long time ago. But it was in prayer. When the opposition came up, what did we do? We prayed. And what's happened? We've been blessed to have an amazing building. I'm believing we're going to see our town changed. I'm believing we're going to see it transformed. And it's not happening, as we probably know, on a grand scale yet. But we need to pray. We need to work together as a team, and we will see amazing things happen. You know, another great example very quickly in the Bible of a team working together to see amazing things is probably from Jesus. Jesus could have done amazing things without a team. Who agrees with me there? But he chose to bring a team, I believe, to show us how to live our lives. Jesus could have seen this town transformed, but he chose to have a team to show us, hey guys, maybe you should get a little team beside you, because you can't do it on your own. Get a team of individuals and do amazing things. He had a group of guys who were together. They were united. So we know Judas Iscariot wasn't quite so united as all the others. So he left, and then they filled his team with Matthias. So they created that team back together. They were united. Just before Jesus died, he gave them their goal. Go and make disciples. They were united. They worked together as a team. And the question is, how did they get on? Well, 2,000 years later, the church is still growing in our world. People are still coming to the Lord, even in Reading. My life's been transformed. Many of you guys' lives have already been transformed. Lives are being changed. So I think we can work out that this teamwork, when you're working together, when you pray together, amazing things happen. So I think that we can gather from Jesus' example to us that he did pretty good. He did very well. So I suppose the challenge is today is let's be united. Let's work together as a team. Let's soak everything in prayer. Let's be united as a team and work and pray to see this pavilion built to a wonderful spec for the glory of God. Let's be united in seeing our town of Reading changed. We must love our town. Thank you, Auntie Penny, for bringing that up to me a few months back. We must love our town of Reading. When I hear people saying Reading sucks, well, move somewhere else. You know, love your town. How are you going to see your town changed if you don't love it? I love my town. I think it's the best place in England to live. I really do. And we're going to see our town changed because we're going to have people who love it. If you don't like a town, well, there's many other towns locally. You can catch a train in and come and meet us on a Sunday morning if you want. But love your town. Don't slate it. Pray for it. And believe that it will be changed. You know, I have the honour of every single Thursday morning, I say every single, depending on how easy it is to get up, of meeting with other church youth workers across Reading. And sometimes there's up to 15, I was counted, different churches represented. And what do? We pray. We chat about what things are going on in Reading. We spend time together. We fellowship. We have coffees together throughout the week because we want to be a youth work of churches in Reading seeing amazing things. And it's so exciting because there's 15 churches, of which many are completely different to us, as you can imagine. But we work together and we're united and we want to see our town changed. And that is why I love hanging out with these guys. You see, I really believe that this is mega exciting times for our town of Reading. I want to be part of what he's doing here. Do you? Yes, Lord. Again, we got our 12 there, I think. But who wants to see amazing things happen in our town? And who's believing for it? You know, it's easy to say I believe it in my head, but we need to believe it in our heart that we can see our town changed and transformed. You know, the God we serve is a real God. God is a God of love. We know that. He loves God. He loves God. Sorry, I'll just see my dad talking to someone. God loves every single one in here so much. You know, one of the things I've learned over the last few years is that every time you get the opportunity or the joy or the honor to be able to speak, you have to tell people about Jesus. And you have to give people an opportunity to receive Jesus. So that's what I'm going to do now for 2 minutes. God is love. It says in the Word of God that God is love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus to die for you." So God loves every single one of you here. He loves you so much that he sent his only son to die for you. And the exciting thing is that 3 days later, he rose from the dead so that every stupid thing you've done, every stupid thing you're going to do, and every stupid thing you're doing can and will be forgiven. You know, Jesus was beaten, badly for you. You know, he was whipped 39 times on his back. And it wouldn't have been just like a belt like I'm wearing now. It would have been with like barbed wire, metal, all this sort of stuff. And he would have been unrecognizable. He had a crown of thorns shoved upon his head. And not thorns like we can just see outside here, but thorns probably the size of a finger. And they say his head would have doubled in size. He would have been unrecognizable. You know, the humiliating thing was Jesus was spat at. You know, somebody just spat at him. So he was made to feel stupid and look silly so that we could have acceptance. Do you know that Jesus died and 3 days later he rose again from the dead so that every curse can be broken, so that you can live for him and you can have an amazing life living with him forever. You know, since I became a Christian properly 8-9 years ago, I can't lie to you and say my life's been easy every single day. It hasn't, and it would be silly for me to say that, but I know that I have someone I can chat to all the time. When times are tough, I know that I can just sit on my bed and say, God, come and help me, and he does, because he's there for me all the time. God loves every single one of us in this room so much. He's got a purpose for you all. He's got a plan for every single one of you. And in actual fact, I believe that he wants to use you to see our town changed and transformed. I believe he wants to use you to be united, not only with LifeSpring, but within the churches of Reading who want to see this town changed and transformed. It's not just us, by the way. There's many other churches in this town who want to see Reading changed and transformed. And we need to pray together. So I'm just going to ask us all to stand. I'm going to pray and then I'm just going to give a couple of opportunities if that's okay for people. I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to ask, just after I prayed, if you could just repeat what I've said. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for sending Jesus down to earth. To die the most horrendous death for me. Father God, I want to thank you that 3 days later, you rose him from the dead so that every stupid thing I've done and I'm going to do can be forgiven for your glory. Would you fill me afresh now with your Holy Spirit? Would you keep me safe in your arms from today forever? I commit my life to you again today. I want to say 100% I'm never going to leave you. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just as our eyes are closed and the music's playing, I just want to ask if there's anyone in this room that has said that for the first time this morning and means it with all their heart, just to raise their hand in the air just so I can see. Thank you. I believe this morning that the Lord wants to give us an excitement for our town of Reading and give us a belief in our hearts that we can and will see our town changed. If you want that belief in your heart to see our town changed, I just want to ask you to raise your hand and I'm just going to pray for you. You know, that is, I wish I had my phone on me. I'd have taken a picture of that because that is exciting. Just as Keith's praying, just ask the Lord yourselves just to give you that passion to see our town changed and transformed. Jesus, would you break our hearts for Reading? Lord Jesus, would you give us tears for our town? Lord Jesus, would you just smash our hearts to bits, Lord Jesus, that we'd have such a desperation for our town of Reading? That, Lord Jesus, every single morning we're just praying and believing for our town to be changed and believing that you're going to use me, that you're going to use these guys here, Lord Jesus. Would you do it for your glory, Lord Jesus? We want to see Reading changed and transformed for your glory, Lord Jesus. Father, we want to see people come into our town to see and hear about you, not for the pubs and the clubs, Lord Jesus. Would they come because the Holy Spirit and the presence of God is so strong in Reading, Lord Jesus? That lives are being changed and transformed in Reading, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, would you raise so many old, young, elderly toddlers, Lord Jesus, who are going to fight for you, Lord Jesus? Father God, would you help us to be united for you, Lord Jesus? Lord Jesus, would you help us to work as a team for you? And Lord Jesus, would you help us to soak everything in prayer for your glory, Lord Jesus? Come have your way, Lord Jesus. Give us your ideas, Lord Jesus. Let's not ask you to jump on ours, Lord Jesus. We want to jump upon your ideas, Lord Jesus. Father God, we're believing for amazing things in our town. Instill in our heart a seed of faith and belief this morning, Lord Jesus. Instill in our heart this morning, Lord Jesus, a love for our town, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, would you do it for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.